Don't even mention Christmas chiclet. My parents are going to be real sorry if I don't get them cha-cha heels. I asked and I better get.
I never get enough Christmas presents. Everybody's so damn cheap. I should be getting a lot. And I'm going to take it all back and get the money for it. You can do that, you know.
No report on Christmas would be complete without a description of how one Hollywood family spends this holiday. So now, let us all hop on our imaginary sleigh and whisk away to the home of one of America's foremost actresses, Miss Joan Crawford.
Tina! Bring me the axe!
Feliz Navidad!
Feliz Navidad!
Naughty children never get any presents!
I went to try to light up the fire, and that's when I noticed the smell.
I like Santa.
Ho, ho, ho.
Welcome to Cherry Bombs, the underappreciated movies podcast. This is the show where we rip the scarlet letter off some unfairly maligned movies. I'm Dustin.
I'm Nick.
And this month, it's Cherry Bombs Christmas. We are going to do a commentary track, which has never been done for this movie, at least on any of the official releases.
There was going to be like a massive special edition for this, but then it never happened.
There was a whole plan to do a special edition, and the movie is, we should say, Scrooged. My favorite Christmas movie of all time. There's a lot of great Christmas movies.
Yes.
But the reason that we're picking Scrooge, besides the fact that, I don't know, is it your favorite Christmas movie? It certainly is mine.
It's definitely one of them. I mean, I think we share the same thing. Like, we are not the, you know, Hallmark Christmas movie type fans. We like the odd ones. I mean, what are the best Christmas movies, really? Die Hard 1 and 2, Gremlins.
Yeah, Gremlins.
Batman Returns, Nightmare Before Christmas, Lethal Weapon, Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah, darker, edgier stuff. Of course, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation and A Christmas Story. You can hardly beat those movies. Those are undisputed classics. But everybody knows those movies.
Santa Claus the Movie.
Oh, wait, Santa Claus the Movie?
Yes.
Well, here's the thing. I thought you said the Santa Claus. Santa Claus the Movie. Here's why we're doing Scrooged. Because if we're talking about underappreciated Christmas movies, now Scrooged, in my opinion, is hugely underappreciated. It should be right there with Christmas Story. It should be playing 24 hours a day on TBS, that kind of thing. It's not. So we're gonna fix that.
Right.
The other option was a Santa Claus the Movie. Which, frankly, the Ilya and Alexander Salkind production starring John Lithgow and Dudley Moore. I have a sentimental love of that movie. Whether or not it warrants a whole episode, I guess it's up
to I'll be honest with you. I haven't seen it in years, but my love from my remembering love of it has held on. So, I mean,
I think that'd be a good one to do. Let's do next year, next Christmas, a Santa Claus movie commentary track where we don't watch the movie in advance and we just go in blind.
Okay. That sounds good.
We'll see if it holds up. So yeah, Scrooge was originally supposed to have, back in 2006, an edition called the You'll Love It edition. Y-U-L-E. Yep. And it was supposed to include a commentary by the director, Richard Donner. Features, let's see here, On the Set with Bill Murray, which was Bill Murray's message to the Show West Exhibitors Convention. The look of Scrooge, updating Ebenezer, bringing the ghost to life, Christmas to remember, a bunch of little featurettes. And that was promoted and it never came out. And it still hasn't come out, 14 years later. We still do not have a proper, we don't have any Scrooged special features at all.
No, nothing.
So we're going to kind of do our best to provide some behind the scenes trivia and bits and bobs that we've collected and talk about the cast and crew. The stuff we normally do on a more formal show, we're going to kind of do in a looser way here as we talk through and watch the greatest Christmas movie of all time, Scrooged.
7 o'clock, Psycho sees Santa's workshop, and only Lee Majors yes. can stop them. In the night the reindeer die. Be here.
You can't show that commercial. That thing looked like the Manson Family Christmas special.
Think I'm way off base?
Yes, you're a tad off base, sir.
Frank Cross is more than the youngest network president in television history.
Call security. Have them change his locks and toss him out of the building.
Oh, he's fired? It's Christmas.
Thank you. Call accounting. Stop his bonus. Watch out.
He's a thoughtful boss.
Thanks, boys. Get the nurse.
A generous brother.
What did he give you last year?
I don't remember.
A shower curtain.
Did you need him? I think you dropped something here.
And a true humanitarian.
I can't get the antlers glued onto this little guy. We've tried crazy glue.
Have you tried staples?
But his life is about to change.
Woo-wee! That was a good one.
You are going to be visited by three ghosts tomorrow at noon.
God, tomorrow's bad for me, Lou. As a matter of fact, the whole rest of the week is a washout.
Anyone who thinks he hates Christmas is wrong.
Come back to Jersey, you moron!
It's ghosts he hates.
I'm the ghost of Christmas present.
Bill Murray. Karen Allen.
It sounded like he'd seen a ghost.
A ghost?
John Forsythe. Bobcat Goldthwait.
Hey! You want to see me, or is this a shotgun in your pocket?
Carol Kane. Robert Mitchum.
I really care!
David Johansen.
Oh, I'm having the weirdest day!
See Bill Murray get Scrooged.
Hey, back off, big man. That may work with the chicks, but not with me.
You got it queued up to the black screen right before the Paramount?
You got it.
All right. So if you're watching along with us, you don't have to. It's not necessary. You can just listen to us talk. Especially if you've seen the movie, you know what's going on. But if you're wanting to watch it with us, I don't know if it's on a streaming service or anything right now. I think it's like pay on streaming, Amazon and things like that. As we record this. Now, by the time this episode gets released, or, you know, whenever you're listening to it down the road, many years maybe from now, it may be. So check around. Might be on Netflix, might be on Amazon Prime. We always recommend a physical copy. It's always the best way to go. It's on Blu-ray. It's on DVD. Get a copy. Put it on your shelf. They can't take that away from you. All right. So we'll do 3, 2, 1 and play.
Okay.
3, 2, 1. Go. All right.
Such a great score for this movie.
Yep. Great score. Danny Elfman composed the score. Danny Elfman is a legend. His credits, yep. And we'll talk about him later when we have a little bit more downtime, are massively extensive. Like, just collecting the notes for Danny Elfman took like half a page.
Yeah, his scores are like no other, for sure.
So the movie opens here with, and this is, I originally saw Scrooge in the theater.
Ooh, lucky
you. Opening weekend, yeah.
This is another HBO one for me.
Was it?
Yeah.
I knew I loved it from this opening sequence because it starts out really subversive, really dark.
We're up here in the North Pole.
Keep an eye. There's an elf in here that looks just like Cher. It's always bothered me that no one's ever mentioned her. There she is.
Yeah, there she is. That is so true. Never thought about that.
There's another shot of her when she's when I think Mrs. Claus says, "Get him," or something, and she's right behind, and she sort of screams and charges.
Now, Mrs. Claus, that's Ron Howard's mom.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. Good trivia. There she is. The Cher elf. The fact that Santa Claus has an entire cabinet full of assault rifles, it's wonderful. It, you know, we wrote a screenplay that I think we could probably say is kind of inspired by this sequence, actually.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Lee Majors appears with holding a real mini gun.
Yeah.
It's a real mini gun. Apparently it was super heavy. He could barely lift it.
I think that I read that, and I might be wrong on this, but I swear I read that the machine gun that he's holding is the one that Schwarzenegger used in Predator.
What?
Yeah.
I suppose it's possible. It was only a year after that.
Yeah. The night the so reindeer good. Died.
This is like the night the reindeer died. Please. We wrote that movie, basically. Somebody yeah. please contact us and make it.
Right.
Bob Goulet's Cajun Christmas. Again, it works because it's dark, because he's right? about to be consumed by an alligator. So good. And then, of course, this next one would appeal to your tastes. Hi, Mom. Where's Dad? Should have been home by now. He's out chasing the beaver. I know your
father.
He's out
chasing beaver. Father loves beaver. Come on. Of course.
So good.
So IBC is the company.
Yep. IBC, the big network, whose president here we see now, Bill Murray, in maybe my favorite Bill Murray performance. I mean, how do you pick your favorite Bill Murray performance? He's been in so many great movies, which we'll talk about once we get into the movie more. But he's so good in this. This was his first movie. Was this not his first movie after Ghostbusters?
Like it was. There was rumors that he was like going to retire or something like that. He wasn't going to act anymore. And
that's a lot of pressure when you have to wait 4 years to come back. It's like when Cameron waited 10 years or whatever it was after Titanic to do Avatar. It's like the longer you wait, the more pressure you put on yourself and the more expectation builds. I feel like you should just dive into something like immediately afterwards. That was Kevin Smith's mentality with Mallrats. Like, get your sophomore slump out of the way right away. Of course, with Bill Murray, it wasn't his sophomore slump, but he had reached this peak with Ghostbusters.
Now you see John Houseman there reading the Scrooge there. So apparently, like, John Houseman had died 1 month before this came out. So it's almost like you're actually watching someone die on film.
That's right. He was. You know? He did die just before the movie came out. It's kind of shocking. Actually.
It is, right?
It's always shocking when somebody that's dead pops up after. This is a really dark story. It's not funny, but it was uncomfortable in the theater. Were you with me when we saw Glitter?
No.
The Mariah Carey Allen, I saw Glitter.
Yeah.
And it was no joke. It was the week of 9/11.
And oh, boy.
The film opened with the Twin Towers and the audience gasped. It's shocking. So it is. It's unsettling when you see something that takes you out of the movie and rips you back into real life. Reading a book in front of a fireplace.
Now. So we see Bill Murray as his character, Frank Xavier Cross here. He's explaining to his team here that how boring just showing Scrooge over and over and over again is, how terrible it is. And sitting at the table is one of Richard Donner, who directed this, is one of his muses because she was in the Lethal Weapon movie. She was the mom in the Goonies.
Yeah, the wife of Robert Zemeckis.
Okay, that I did not know.
Yeah, she was married to Robert Zemeckis. I don't know if she still is or not, but what was her name? Granted,
but the people already want to watch the show. Oh, boy,
what is her name? I feel like we have to give her proper credit here if we're going to talk about her.
That isn't good enough. They have got to be so scared to miss it, so terrified.
Wow. And, of course, Bobcat Goldthwait is at the table as well. He's all cleaned up, and he's the...
Yeah, this is the first time we've seen Bob Goldthwait in, like, I mean, he's still doing a little bit of the Bobcat stuff, but
yeah,
he is,
the voice, you mean?
cleaned up. Yeah. That's probably the best up, word yeah. for it.
He's got such a great last name, Laudermilk. I like that last, Laudermilk. I don't know why so we laugh.
We go into Bill Murray's version of advertising for the Scrooge thing, which is great because it's advertising the same show that they just played that sort of goody-goody trailer for. Has nothing to do with it whatsoever.
Just a plane blowing up. Road rage.
Drug addiction. The nuke goes off behind Scrooge. You know, that sort of classic, almost Hollywood studio advertising, in that they set you up for something that is not anything remotely like the thing actually ends up being.
And the execs come out like they're going to be sick, which is great, because it's just like, I just feel like this is like what I would do. Like, you don't want to have this Hallmark Christmas stuff anymore. And you just want to change it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, sir. So let's talk a little bit about, well, since he's on the screen, Bob Goldthwait, who I think we probably both first came to Bob Goldthwait through the Police Academy movies.
Zed, right?
Zed, yeah. I was a huge Police Academy fan from Police Academy 3, and then I doubled back to 2, and then by 4.
There was nothing funnier in Police Academy when he would yell and just yell at Sweet Chuck, and Sweet Chuck would fall over.
He played that character. I mean, that was part of his stand-up, wasn't it? The Zed,
yes.
Kind of wild man character.
Yes. He would just do that voice thing, and where it would just change and crack and everything like that. And
yeah. He's doing like a sort of a muted version of that in this. But almost like he plays it more like he's insecure.
Yeah, he's just like very, a sweet guy.
He's very sweet in this.
He's wearing a bow tie and...
Yeah.
His hair's all combed over and everything. Scare the dickens out
of people. Merry Christmas, Miss Cooley.
The dickens out of people.
Alfre Woodard there, we see. Great actress, Alfre Woodard. As Grace Cooley, the secretary. She was in The Core. I know she's been in classy stuff too, but let's talk about The Core. She was in Star Trek First Contact.
K-Pax, which I remember liking.
Yeah, you did like that, didn't you?
I think so. I'm pretty sure I remember like that. I haven't seen it since.
It's pretty terrible.
Elliot Loudermilk.
He's still on the Loudermilk?
Because she said it was funny.
I'm talking about classy actors here. 12 Years a Slave, Crooklyn, Heart and Soul. Weren't you a fan of Heart and Soul?
With Downey Jr.?
Yeah.
That Downey Jr.? I haven't seen that in years.
I remember you used to be a big fan of that movie.
I like the fact that that Frank Cross rips up her kid's picture on her wall.
There were people that complained, including our beloved Roger Ebert, complained about this movie was mean. But
Ebert did not like this.
No.
It's like, come on, does everybody want to just keep seeing like the same type of remakes? Like, if you ain't going to change it up a little bit, you gotta give us something different.
I love that he's making his Christmas list here, and some people are getting towels, and some people are getting like state of the art VHS players, which would at that time been a fantastic gift. And he gives his brother a bath towel. So yeah, he's a real shit, which I love in this. He's probably he's no doubt my favorite Scrooge.
I mean, isn't he really, though, the worst, like, Scrooge, though, even of the classic ones? Because the classic ones are just old guys who are grumpy, and yeah, they don't want to give up any money, and you're going to make you work, you know, on Christmas. But he's just, like, mean all around. I mean, you know.
Yeah. By worst, you mean best. Like, most Scrooge.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Thank you. Most of these are towels. I don't know if it's improv or if it's written that way, but the way that he goes down that list and says VHS, towel. Most of these are towels.
Well, from a lot of what I read, though, like Bill Murray is impossible to direct. Like it's almost like you just have to like edit him more than anything. You just have to let if he says yes to your movie, you just got to let him go and catch what you can.
The Richard Donner quote is, directing Billy is like being a cop at Times Square when the lights go out. Robert Mitchum enters the film. Hollywood icon, you know, I'm not going to lie. I don't think either of us have seen a lot of Robert Mitchum movies.
I mean, I, the only thing I can really, you know, say is where he did the remake with Scorsese, where he played that actual role.
Yeah, well, yeah, the original Cape Fear. Cape Fear. Yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah. I've seen that. Have you any idea how many pets? But he's the big man in charge, completely out of his mind, loony. I don't have this. No. Which, again, there's so much truth in that. This is the most powerful man. This is like the Rupert Murdoch, and he's just a nut. He's just completely insane and should be committed, as most of these people are that are in these positions.
And he's the only one that can kind of like sort of keep Cross, you know, calm and not flip out, you know. Like he can't, like Cross can't be mean and nasty. He's got to kind of kiss a little ass here.
Yeah, it's the only guy that he's that he's willing to sort of like acquiesce to, even though right there.
Because he's next in line.
I'm not saying build a whole show around animals. And I think we're about to meet John Glover, if I'm not mistaken, from memory. This is a movie I've seen so many times. This was an every Christmas movie for many, many years. This would be Christmas Eve, would be Scrooged every night on Christmas Eve. The old VHS. Even after I got the DVD, I'd still pull out the VHS because that was the tradition. Wasn't there a
Dormouse in Scrooge? No, but now that you say it, I always felt that it needed a Dormouse.
Dormice, better.
Bingo.
Frank, this show is the jewel in the IBC crown.
So, everything is right. Are we about to see John Glover as Bryce Cummings?
Bryce Cummings.
Again, great names in this. Yeah. Lunch tomorrow,
JJ. Right.
And this, yeah. This is the little elevator guy.
Never noticed him before. I love grabbing the book. Here we go, Bryce Cummings. Good old John Glover from Gremlins 2 as Daniel Clamp in Gremlins 2. He was in The Incredible Shrinking Woman, the dearly departed Joel Schumacher's classic Lily Tomlin movie.
He's Batman royalty, though, because not only was he the voice of the Riddler in the Batman animated series, but he actually did play a role in the Schumacher Batman and Robin.
That's right. Who was he in the Batman?
He was like Poison Ivy's like assistant.
Yeah, he's so big. Like he's really everything is very big with him. I love him. He'll pop up in a movie and you just feel comfortable that he's in it. He's in The Mouth of Madness, Love, Valor, Compassion. He does a voice on Tron Uprising. The short-lived but really cool series. That line, I care, the Bill Murray. Love it. So good. The funny thing, and maybe it's a good point to mention this, I know Bill Murray was not a fan of working on this movie, and I don't think that he was comfortable with what, you know, the movie that turned out. We'll talk more later about why that's totally wrong, because it's such a great movie. But he said that he's quoted as saying, Scrooge could have been a really, really great movie. The script was so good, but Richard Donner kept telling me to do things louder, louder, louder. I think he was deaf. So I don't feel that way, though. I don't feel like it's not pitched at like an insane level. It's very modulated. I mean, he'll go there, but that's what makes this movie, that's what makes his performance in this movie so much fun to watch, because he's kind of bounces. It's not this one note thing. It's all over the place. He's an asshole. We see right here ripping off the Hits White Oat Show. And then he steals the cab from the old lady.
He's walking with his real life brother here.
Actual brother, yes.
Yeah, actually, because you'll see his other brothers in here too. But this is the one that is going is well, per him, is expected to get the towel.
Yeah, John Murray, who was in a really good, funny comedy that I remember watching a million times on HBO called Moving Violations. Do you remember I showed you the clip from Moving Violations about the woman getting the lube job?
Oh my God, that's great. Wasn't he also in One Crazy Summer?
Yeah, I think so.
Right? He's a little bit
fatter
in that one, but I think he was in that one.
There, here's the old one.
Oh, you dropped something.
And he shoved a guy before he got
there. And
he
gives her the finger. How is that not great? Like,
you son of a bitch. It's so good. That's a Scrooge. That's who you want Scrooge to be.
Stealing a cab from a lady and giving her the finger when you do it. Like, come on.
And here he is. I love that he's getting this award that he cares so little about that he just leaves it in the cab.
And he just flicks it just to show how cheap it is. And then we see some Bob Loudermilk here because he got fired because he tried to have a good idea and Cross didn't like it. So
again, actually accurate to most people's jobs. It's like, keep your mouth shut. He had great ideas and he was a threat. So he was fired. That's good, zany. That's not major pain zany. That's a good zany. That shot's great. With this music playing, let's talk real quick about Danny Elfman. Well, if we can talk quick about Danny Elfman. This was the score he did, I think, right before Batman, right? Batman was the very next year. Well, I think it was the score right after this.
Correct.
But Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Big Top Pee-wee, Dark Man, both of the first two Batman movies, extremely underrated. Not the movie underrated, but the score for the Tim Burton Planet of the Apes movie, so good. Mars Attacks, which is such a great score. Summer School, Hot to Trot with Bobcat Goldthwait. Nightbreed, Dick Tracy, Edward Scissorhands, Dolores Claiborne, Nightmare Before Christmas.
I don't think he's ever won an Oscar, has he?
I don't think so. Simple Plan, he did Milk, he did Frankenweenie. It's not, I mean, people think that there's an Elfman style, and yeah, certain kind of movies he will do something, especially in the 80s and 90s. But I feel like with things like Milk and Simple Plan, I think he's sort of moving away from that recognizable Danny Elfman style. He even did a Terminator movie. Was Terminator, was it Salvation?
Oh,
which seemed like such a weird pairing to me, but you know, I don't like that movie. But.
He's fearless, though. He'll do anything.
Yeah. So now we have Frank Cross is about to be visited by his old boss. The structure of this movie is great. The fact, obviously, everyone knows it's based on A Christmas Carol. Written by Charles Dickens, which has been done 8 million times in different versions. Usually,
the story itself is like, what, 200 years old, right? Wasn't it made like in the 1800s or something?
It's been done so many times, but usually they'll do it like true to the book, true to the time period. And what makes this movie, again, what makes this movie special is it's not set. Even the Muppet version set it in that time period. We could talk about the Muppet version later and my issues with that movie. John Forsyth here.
Who was the best? Charlie from Charlie's Angels.
Was he?
Yeah, which is interesting because in the newer versions with like Drew Barrymore, Charlie was actually Bill Murray. So it's kind of weird how they...
Well, that's interesting. That's an interesting
come together there. Yeah.
I'm starting to understand, like, we've done one commentary before for a movie that I made, but doing a commentary like this, I can totally understand how frustrating it is sometimes for people because we're sitting here talking and I'm seeing things go by, like the mouse pushing the golf ball out of his head and things like that we're not talking about. And it's like, you just want to keep going back and like, we're winding. Wait, we got to talk about this. We got to talk about this. So we're doing our best here. John Forsythe, I think, maybe best known from Dynasty.
Dynasty, sure.
Yeah, it was one of my mom's favorite shows.
Yeah, one of my parents' favorite shows too. Let's just say, for argument's sake, the golf ball coming out of his head, though, was supposedly the nod to Caddyshack.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think about that. Well, also because you know he's a typical sort of rich douchebag whose pastime is golf. Which tends to be the pastime of douchebags. Nothing against golf. I'm just a lot of, fine people that golf. I have no problem against.
And his makeup is so good.
I was going to say, yeah, the makeup was nominated for an Oscar. Lost to Beetlejuice. which I guess is fair, because it's great makeup. I mean, that's a good year for makeup, though.
Yeah, for sure. Better than the eyebrows.
This makeup is so good, and all the dust and stuff that's on him that comes off when he gets feared by men. And the bit there, you can tell he smells terrible. Lord, let's be honest. I also love that, despite the fact that this sort of zombie ghost of his dead boss has visited him, he's still being an asshole.
Yeah. He's arguing with women, Lou. Kindness. That should have been my business. Don't wait. Get yourself involved. Now it's too late for me, but it's not for you. You can be saved. You are going to be visited. So now we find out, just like in all the Christmas carols before, he's going to be visited by three ghosts, which he's not buying at all. Tomorrow. He's like, yeah, just like the show. Sure. Okay. Yeah. Tomorrow's bad for me. Which again is a nice twist, because normally, you know, Scrooge at this point is scared and freaking out, and you know, and he's just like, I don't have time for you.
He's still being sarcastic.
And I love this effect here where he grabs Cross by the throat and just pushes him through the window.
Yeah. And then the arm starts to splinter. You know, back in the 80s, I didn't get a chance to go to the movies a lot back then. This was a rare thing for me. So these shots looking down on the city, there was one in Crocodile Dundee 2 as well, like that. I would get vertigo in the theater in those shots. I still remember that.
Oh, wow.
And the shot of him like there, that laughing with that sort of remainder of the arm. So good. And then he wakes up in the chair.
And his phone just starts dialing by itself.
And the voice of the lovely, beautiful, talented, wonderful Karen Allen as Claire Phillips, his old flame, who represents purity and goodness and everything that is 15 years since we talked, but good about people. I really
need to talk to you right now. And Karen Allen, of course, from Raiders of the Lost Ark, is Marion Ravenwood. She's in Starman. Another fantastic performance.
Oh, yeah. No matter what, it's urgent. Call me at any hour. My number is 6. Malcolm X, she was in. She was in Animal House, of course.
Animal House, yeah.
She's in our friend Mark's, one of his favorite movies, Cruising, which I despise.
I've never seen that.
She played Krista McAuliffe, I guess, in a movie about the Challenger disaster. I would like to see that. I didn't know that until we were researching this. She was also completely wasted in A Perfect Storm. If you remember, she was...
She was in the boat with...
She's on that sailboat with Bob Gunton from Bats.
I get you went Bob Gunton from Bats as opposed to Shawshank Redemption.
I was thinking Bob Gunton from Bats. I mean, she could have played the Mary Elizabeth Master Antonio. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with Mary Elizabeth Master Antonio. She's great. But to have her sidelined to this like supporting like peripheral role was like, what happened?
So then we go to Grace's apartment and we see Grace's drying off with her her towel, which has got this obnoxious IBC gold emblem on it, which is like a quarter of the size of the towel. So you can't even dry yourself off with that.
The mom there, Mabel King, was she was in What's Happening. She was in The Wiz, and she was in The Jerk.
And the son the son in Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, that's right. He was.
Donner likes to keep his favorite co-stars together.
Here we find out that the Scrooge ad, killed a woman, which he's thrilled.
Can't get better press than that.
That he sells that moment. The transition.
IBC kills old woman. I want that promo every half hour. I want a disclaimer at the top. Anyone with a heart condition must leave the room. Will do first. I can't believe Buddy Hackett's in this. I wish he would sing
Buddy Hackett.
And he's playing Scrooge, right? I mean, which is so odd.
Yeah, it's total miscasting. Buddy Hackett is Scrooge from one of your favorite movies ever, The Music Man.
The Music Man.
Oh God, this scene is so good. It's so good.
You know, every time I keep looking to see him too. I want to see her nipples. Oh, you really? Oh, you can see her areolas for sure.
A little bit there, yeah. Charles Dickens would have wanted to see her nipples. And that guy, you can hardly see them nipples.
Right?
That guy was reminding me of your dad. The guy that says he can hardly see them. Yeah.
And then here we got Slapsticky, which is great.
That's great slapstick, though.
Because he just ducks so she can get hit in the head with the lamppost.
And there she is.
Calling him Lumpy.
She's so great. That's her pet name. I love her. How can you not fall in love with Karen Allen? Look at that smile. She's the best. Hi. And yeah, she calls him Lumpy, which humanizes him.
Yeah, much like his boss, she's the only other one that can, you know, not make him mean.
Right. Well, she's the only one that softens him. With the boss, he's just playing at it.
Right, he's just kissing ass, but he can't be snotty. But here, it's definitely, you know. Yo, Frank.
Solid Gold dancers. I guess Solid Gold was canceled actually, like a couple of months before the movie came out. So this would have been the final performance of the Solid Gold dancers.
I love how he turns her head and like cracks her neck.
And then the nurse is horrified. Like, oh no.
Get some booty in there. See? You can't even see a nipple.
Is she gonna be alright?
Oh yeah, she's a real pro. She's very professional.
What about you? You sounded like you'd seen a ghost.
Bill Murray collected a $6 million salary for this movie, which at the time, I would imagine that was probably one of the highest salaries. That's a lot of money
especially for comedies, right?
For a comedy, yeah. It's like it's not like he's, you know, Arnold or Stallone or something like that.
Around these parts, most people call me Mr. Cross.
I'm sorry. I'm new here, and I got a problem.
This guy.
Well, my problem is this little fella. Oh, I can't get the antlers glued onto this little guy. We tried
crazy glue antlers to a mouse.
You staple that little mouse. I'll call the Humane Society. I'm not kidding.
I wouldn't do anything in the world to hurt this little fella. Hey,
Marlin, Perkins, the road. Oh,
beautiful story. Tell Reader's Digest.
The Reader's Digest bit. So good.
Still trying to save the world.
She's seeing, a little bit of his toxicity coming back through here.
Get out of here!
And that, I love that. You called me.
You little worm. Who are you?
And here we get Grace's son who doesn't say anything and he's just kind of stumbled up on set.
Yeah. It's a nice sort of twist on the original Tiny Tim who was...
No, he does not.
I can't remember if they ever specifically said what was wrong with him. He was on crutches, I remember that. And he was dying.
Do we ever really know what Tiny Tim had? I don't know.
I don't think so. He was very sick.
Maybe he was just hungry because like Scrooge brings him a turkey and it's like he's fine. So, you know, I don't know.
So Cindy Pollack was the original director. Let's talk a little bit about Richard Donner here, who has directed many, many of our favorite movies.
He's 90 years old. Can you believe that?
It's crazy. I met Richard Donner years ago. Mm. I've had a chance to go to two different Richard Donner events. The first time was amazing. It was at a very small – it was in a classroom environment at a California Art and Design School, and he had gone to speak just about Lady Hawk specifically, but just about film, his career in general. And I was luckily invited there by a friend, and it was like 20 people in the classroom. It was like a small classroom. And he was just sitting in a, you know, classroom chair at the front and just talking about his career. There was a moderator, but for the most part, he was talking to the students, and it was like this intimate little thing. And I spent like, you know, 2 hours with Richard Donner. It was amazing. And he did not disappoint. He's an incredible, like, raconteur, And he got out of the I was lucky enough to be out there to greet him when he got out of his Uber with the guy that had organized the event and a friend of mine. And he got out of the Uber and he was all grumpy because it was like a 3-hour traffic thing. And he was all grumpy that they didn't get him a more comfortable Uber vehicle to ride. But like rascally grumpy, like not like mean grumpy, but like rascally, like he was ribbing the guy. And then somebody was wearing a Zardoz shirt and he got really excited about the Zardoz shirt. gave him a fist bump. And then the second time was at the Richard Donner Academy event where they honored him. The Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences honored him. And everybody was there, like, you know, the cast of Lethal Weapon and Goonies, and Carol Kane showed up to talk about Scrooged, and it was wild. Super nice guy, super cool guy.
That's awesome.
And he's done some of our favorite movies, Superman, the original. He did direct Superman, part most of Superman 2, but that he was replaced.
Yeah.
The Toy, which I think we both grew up with on HBO.
Oh, for sure.
Goonies, which is a classic. Lethal Weapon movies. Maverick. Timeline. our friend Al's favorite timeline.
Loves the Night Arrows.
Night Arrows. They're just arrows that aren't on fire. Night Arrows. And he directed the Cyndi Lauper Goonies video, too.
He directed that?
Yeah. I think he's in it, too, where he narrates it. So good. This was not a movie that he was really particularly excited about directing, I don't think. I think it took some convincing, and it was not a smooth production. There was a lot of strife on the set between him and Bill Murray particularly. They have just completely different styles of working. But it isn't that Donner couldn't direct comedy, because we've seen before he certainly could. Oh, he also did Lady Hawk. We should mention that, which is just a great movie. Underrated.
Oh, with Broderick.
Yeah. Is this the Richard Pryor bit coming up here?
Yeah.
I remember laughing in the theater and the rest of the audience was dead silent. I'm sorry. I thought you were Richard Pryor.
When Preston hired me this morning, I sort of I said to him, consider me just one of the team. I love that he thinks he's the ghost. Because who else could he be, right? Because he's just so obnoxious. And
of course, he's from the West Coast, which is totally accurate. The high
Bill Murray screams are great.
This was my introduction to the highball as a drink, so I can never disconnect highball from that.
Are you him? Are you him?
Are you he?
I'll take it away.
Don't come apart on me.
No. What was that your cross coach said?
So Scrooge was written by Mitch Glazer and Michael O'Donohue. O'Donohue was a Saturday Night Live guy.
He's a Saturday Night Live guy, yeah. Mitch Glazer, who is actually married to one of the cast members in here, Wendy Malick, who is the
sister.
Yeah,
sister-in-law
there, yeah.
Sister-in-law of Bill Murray.
Sister-in-law, yep. But Mitch Glazer, he produced Lost in Translation with Bill Murray.
Did he? I didn't know that. I know he did Great Expectations, the Alfonso Cuarón, Ethan Hawke version, and The Recruit. Here comes the Richard Pryor bit. Again, incredibly dark and totally up our alley. I'm sorry. I thought you were Richard Pryor. I'm sorry. And then the trip.
And supposedly, like, that was not supposed to happen. Like,
really?
Because it was wet after he threw the water. Like, he just fell. Like, he was not supposed to fall there.
perfect. It's so good. It's so good. Makes it even better.
And here we go. So you see Cross getting in the cabin. Now he meets the second ghost.
The first ghost. The ghost of Christmas Past. Well, yeah, the second ghost of the movie. Well, the first ghost of the
three. Right, right. The first, yes.
Originally, it was meant to be Sam Kinison was going to play.
That would have been great if it was Sam Kinison. But I'm totally fine with
I love Dave Johansen as well. Buster Poindexter.
Hot, hot, hot. So I was reading a tidbit on this, and I don't know. I saw a couple of things that said the same thing, so I don't know if it's true. But supposedly, Arthur Kane, who was part of the group with him, he didn't like the fact that everybody was having like all these careers. And apparently, when he saw that how much screen time he had, that he like beat his wife and then like tried jumping from a third story window to commit suicide.
Yeah, I saw that too.
It's crazy.
There's a really good documentary about him called New York Doll that is definitely worth checking out. But yeah, David Johansen, founder of the New York Dolls, musician. He's also went into acting. He was known as Buster Poindexter. That was sort of his like...
alter ego.
Alter ego, yeah. But he was also in Let It Ride with Richard Dreyfuss, our old pal Richard Dreyfuss. Free Jack, which I skipped out of school to go see. Did you skip out of school to go see Free Jack too? I know I did. I remember somebody else told me that they did too.
Oh, God, no. I wish I did.
He was in the Very Merry Christmas, that Netflix thing too. Which is, I didn't even think about the fact that that's totally like a very Bill Murray Christmas reunion.
I've never seen that. I probably have to now.
It's weird, but good. I want to see it again. I'll have to reconnect my Netflix just for that.
So much like the DeLorean, this cab that is in there is taking him into the past, and he drops him off at his old home.
Oh my God! This is where I grew up.
That's great because now we get one of the other Murray brothers who.
Oh, yeah.
His dad.
He's so good. Brian Doyle Murray. And he's great.
From Christmas Vacation.
Uh-huh. Wayne's World.
Wayne's World.
Groundhog Day. Ghostbusters 2, Multiplicity, and the classic Cabin Boy.
Cabin Boy.
Chris Elliott. This, I remember this was in the trailer, I think, is always the clip they showed.
It's still funny. Ghost walks through the door and Bill can't.
Quiet, somebody call the cops. They can't hear us.
It's a good place to talk about production design here. I mean, this comedies in general don't get a lot of attention for their production design, but there's some beautiful work in this movie by J. Michael Riva, who has worked many times with Donner on The Goonies and Lethal Weapon. He also did Halloween 2. He did Golden Child, Color Purple, Buckaroo Banzai, Tango and Cash.
Wow.
Congo. Hello. There's a credit for you. Hard Rain. Damn.
Hard Rain, yes.
6 days, 7 nights. Remember we saw that in the theater?
Oh, boy.
Here, Francis.
Stealth.
I've got something for you.
Zathura, Iron Man 1 and 2, Django Unchained. Like, he's done. He's been in the industry for many
That's a hell
years.
Of a list. I love that if he gets veal.
And I also love that Bill Murray here gets emotional, but he plays it off like he's emotional because of the value of the veal.
I'm only four. Soon he learns that life isn't given to you on a silver platter, the better.
That kid's good. And so is the mom. She's got nothing to do here except for...
I love that she's smoking pregnant, too.
She's smoking pregnant, which, you know, back in the day, probably is not unusual. This here where she turns.
Merry Christmas, Frankie.
That's great.
Merry Christmas to you, Mama.
See, this movie has a big heart. There's moments like that that are not played cynically or for laughs. And that's why it's such a good Christmas movie because it's not just all gags. And the best Christmas movies do have these moments.
I was touched by a gift. A four-year-old kid receives what in today's marketplace is a
50-dollar piece of film.
Frank, you still spent the next 15 years of your life sitting on your ass watching television.
Check the records, Chope. I did some.
I remember at the time being a little bit annoyed by the negative attitude that this movie had towards TV. Because I was like, well, come on. TV's not that bad. That's not the root of the problem.
Yeah, why was it always like, oh, you're watching too much TV? Like, why is that so terrible?
That's not the problem.
No.
I mean, he's watching TV. Look at his home life. Of course he's watching TV. He's trying to escape. And his memories are from TV shows.
That was from Little House on the Prairie, Frank. It was the whole funny episode of Little House.
Let's face it, Frank. Garden slugs got more out of it. But I mean, here's in defense of Frank Cross, what life was he expected to have here?
Right? Go on, butcher.
Yeah, I mean, he's escaping through TV. So here maybe is where he begins to go wrong. Like, television got him into this industry. And it's kind of what he loves. He grew up loving TV.
Who is it that's sitting on the fax?
I don't know, but she seems familiar to me,
She's
too.
So familiar, right? I can't.
The hair is
awesome. Right, the mullet.
There we have John Forsythe again, sans the dusty zombie makeup.
This is Frank working his way to the top.
Right.
He's not partying with everybody else. He's doing work.
But he's not a socialized kind of guy. Like, I got a lot of sympathy for Frank Cross at this point in his life because he's coming out of a bad home life. He escaped that home life through television. He worked his way up to get a job at a television network. And he just doesn't probably have a lot of experience being a human being with other human beings. But the problem, though, is that he's getting opportunities to try it here, and he's turning his back on him.
She was crazy about me. Not that one, Frankie. Not that one.
There's a lot of great elevator doors closing in this movie. There's at least two or three or four. Well, there's the whole thing at the end with the Ghost of Christmas Future, too. Elevators are a big motif of Scrooged. And there she is again. Again, every time she comes on screen, lights up the movie.
Just gorgeous.
She's just, she really is.
She glows. She is
gorgeous in a very real way. There's something so boring to me about the conventionally beautiful women that you see in movies a lot, the sort of CW types.
See, I was never, watching movies, like, I was never really attracted to that. Like, it was always like either the next door girls or the nerdy girls. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it was
the girls. I mean, the girls and the guys that feel like they're real people.
Right. I mean, like, if you like watch like Teen Wolf, like, Boof was 1,000 times Boof. Better than,
oh,
you
yeah.
know.
She I mean, was way cuter than the other girl.
That's with all of them, too. I mean, you know, like Zapped. That was another one where she was, you know. You don't like Zapped?
I'm not going to comment on Zapped or Scott Baio.
I mean, I don't like, I mean, I'm just talking about the movie. I'm not, what they do outside of that, But I like Zap.
Or Willie Ames. Would you like to go get
some? But he's Bible Man.
Oh, here we go. This is the Kama Sutra scene, which was my introduction at the age of, 12 when I saw this movie in the theater?
Because I would have been 12. 11.
Yeah, this is my introduction to the Kama Sutra at the age of 12. Realizing that a whole world that lay ahead. You have to wait until Christmas morning to open this. That's true. When you open one present on Christmas Eve.
Let me tell you something. My luck with that was horrid. Absolutely horrid. Because when that would happen, my brother would open up a toy, a game, or something. I would open up the damn sweater. I would open up something that my mother handmade for me. Like, I'm just like, are you serious? I got to go a whole day now just with this sweater or this thing. Like, it's not that I'm appreciative of it now, but it was like every time Eric would open up a toy. It's like, come on. Come on. It was brutal.
Your turn.
I've never liked a girl enough to give her 12 sharp knives.
Christmas movies. What are some other great Christmas movies? We talked about some of them at the beginning there, of course, yeah. but Christmas Evil.
Christmas Evil. There you go. That's one.
That's a movie that everybody must track down. Christmas Evil. Especially if you get the DVD that has the John Waters commentary track on it.
I mean, that's why you buy it in the first place.
Oh, exactly. That's why I bought it. And I was like, right. Oh my God, the movie's amazing too.
I bought Boom. I've never even seen Boom, but I bought it because it's got the Waters commentary.
Oh, again, so good. Not the movie, the commentary. Carol is a Christmas. I would say Carol's a Christmas movie, huh?
Sure.
Todd Haynes.
Yeah.
Home Alone.
Home Alone, sure.
Ernest Saves Christmas.
Another one, sure.
When I was a kid, Babes in Toyland. I liked that a lot with Annette Funicello and Frankie Avalon.
Oh, man. Bark like a dog. Wow, I haven't seen that, let alone heard that name in so long.
Love Actually is a, I think, probably.
Yeah, Love Actually is a good one. That's one of the more, I would say, more, you know, I guess you could say romantic comedies that that I like.
Yeah. Prancer. There's a really good creepy movie called The Great Rupert with a stop motion mouse that my sister bought for me one year. That's a really creepy Christmas movie. It's not meant to be creepy, but it is.
The Rankin Bass classics.
Oh well, yeah. I mean, if we want to get into like this, before we get into the specials, 6 Weeks, I believe, took place at Christmas, didn't it? Your Dudley Moore.
Oh, that movie horrified me as a kid. I thought I was going to die every day. It's horrible. Just horrible.
But yeah, Rankin Bass, the Rudolph stuff every year. Frosty the Snowman, the animated. Mickey's Christmas Carol, I was a big fan of.
Yeah. Was that with the snowball fights with Donald and his nephews?
Yep, I think so. Oh, here's that was the guy from Total Recall.
Yes. That's a good catch.
I didn't even catch him in my research. That guy is, he's in a million things. Somewhere in here, and maybe we missed it already, but there's the camera pans past the tree, and like a prop tree, and carved into the tree is Dick Loves Lauren, which was a reference to Richard Donner. Frank, and his wife, stuff. Lauren Shuler Donner. Clear, right,
clear. That's so nice.
Trivia. And order us a stretch limo too.
See you downstairs. Okay. It's a bone.
You lucky.
I just love how Buster Poindexter gets into it.
He's so excited.
It's a bone, you silly dog.
The president of the network just invited us to dinner. And here's where things start to go off the rails for Frank.
Yep.
And this is
now where he's got to make a choice, yep, between family.
You start to kind of lose sympathy for him or empathy for him in the sense that he's choosing work over family, he's choosing career over the stuff that really matters in the long run.
Yeah, it is Christmas.
And he really screws up because he loses Karen Allen.
Maybe if you could put my needs and the needs of the Frisbee show.
And worse yet, he acts like she's the one being selfish.
I have been fighting for the integrity of this show. This is the opportunity of a lifetime.
I'm sorry. I guess I didn't realize how important it is to you.
Well, I'm willing to forgive you once in a while. I am.
Frank, look. Maybe we should separate for a while. Excuse me?
Estelle.
Yeah?
When is that limo leaving?
Oh, right after the show.
I'm sorry. I never liked Estelle's performance there. my one complaint about Scrooge was that moment where she's like, oh, ah, right after the show. She's like, can we do
I get the impression that, like, you know, like he's going to, like, you know, get it on with her later on.
With Estelle?
She gives him those eyes, yeah.
Do you think he was having a thing with the secretary?
After this moment, yes.
In modern day, the mom from the Goonies. I'll tell
him that you got hung up. Wait, what?
His secretary, no, she's not the secretary. She's another executive there.
Oh, the executive? Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's definitely not having an affair with Alfre Woodard. She would never lower herself to that level. And here we go. I believe we're about to leave David Johansen and move into the next ghost, which relates to our last episode, The Art of the Movie Slap.
I know what's going on.
Hey, Frank, over here.
What's going on?
How am I supposed to know? I'm only the ghost. So long.
I love his teeth.
Oh, this great. You know what's coming.
Look at Buddy Hackett as Scrooge. It's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
Terrible casting. I mean, great casting. Buddy Hackett playing Scrooge, but terrible casting.
Like, was that the idea where they like get somebody who like is like could never be Scrooge in a million, like never have a shot at it, but we'll give him a shot.
You know who they originally were going to cast? Let me double check my notes on this, because if this is Marlon Brando.
Oh my God.
Who turned him down? But that would have been a reunion after Superman the movie.
Man, could you imagine that?
Can you imagine trying to wrangle Marlon Brando and Bill Murray on the same movie?
Man.
That would have been like Island of Dr. Moreau with Val Kilmer and Marlon Brando. They would have gone through like four directors.
It's lonely at the top. It's not lonely at the top. Oh, maybe around my birthday and at sunset. And then for a couple of weekends, it would have raised hell with even a really normal person. But that's me. I'm a widow.
So now Frank's on his way to go see Claire at the shelter that she works for.
Oh, so I did see also that Buddy Hackett tried to rewrite his Scrooge scenes. John Glover was interviewed in a book, a really good Richard Donner biography called You're the Director, You Figure It Out. And John Glover said that Buddy Hackett would come in with his scenes completely rewritten. And Richard Donner would just shut him down, basically. But in a really, really nice way. But he would be like, yeah, no, we're not doing that. Do the script, buddy.
Now the woman that's taking care of Bill when he comes in, she thinks he's homeless. She was actually in Richard Donner's Lethal Weapon 3.
Was she?
She was the one that drove the...
Oh my God!
The truck
yes.
that was hitting on Danny Glover,
yes.
And of course, also here we have
I love her.
The legendary Anne Ramsey.
Anne Ramsey, she is
my God. Mama Fratelli.
Angel. I love her so much. That's her husband there too.
Is it really?
Yep.
Oh wow!
On the right there, that's her husband. He was also an actor for many years. Anne Ramsey. Wow. I was such a huge fan of Anne Ramsey, obviously from the Goonies, and also especially from, I think, Throw Mama from the Tree.
Throw Mama from the Tree. Erwin!
I still hate Olympia Dukakis, which my husband will not be pleased to hear me say that because he loves her. I still have a thing against Olympia Dukakis because she beat Anne Ramsey at the Oscars that year. She won from Moonstruck.
Oh,
it should have been Anne.
It should have been
because Anne Ramsey died not too long after.
Yeah.
That. This was her last movie, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
So yeah, it is a reunion of Richard Donner and Ann Ramsey after Goonies. Also, there is
Michael Pollard.
Yeah, Michael Pollard.
Tango and Cash, Roxanne,
Dick Tracy,
yeah.
Next of Kin as Herman. We'll see Herman again in less nice circumstances coming up here.
Are you talking about regret?
Yeah, I'm talking about regret. Yeah.
You know, the one good thing about regret is that it's never too late. You can always change if you want to. I deal with that every day.
Okay, we'll deal with this. I want to take you someplace right now.
I'm just thinking of what's coming up. What are you doing here? These are very big girls.
That's why, yes. Yep.
And so just her reaction to it, where her just kind of like slaps herself. Like,
here it is. Just some fuses. You go down to the hardware store and you buy fuses. The A and P. It's under A. It's not. It's under P. Look it up in the phone book. No, it's under A. If you can't find it, it's under P. You don't have to call them. These are big girls. Very big girls. Bang. Fire these people. They're volunteers. It's because no one will hire them.
This movie is filled with nothing but gems. Like,
yeah, every scene. It doesn't feel scripted either. That's the other great. That's the other amazing thing about Scrooge is that it has an improvisational feel. She's so good. He's good. All no one feels like they're reading dialogue that's off of a page.
It's very true.
A lot of comedies feel real scripted, and it's less funny because it feels predictable. This feels unpredictable. Anybody could say something at any moment.
I mean, do you ever think like people would be talking about seeing nipples in a Scrooge movie? I mean, you know, like it's just one turn after the other. It's always a surprise.
I've always here we see Frank doesn't give him any money.
Herman, I blew it all on Liz.
And this comes back to haunt him later.
Last dress rehearsal, so let's get it right.
Pumping. More solid gold dancers. Dancing with giant Christmas ornaments.
Yep. And they're half naked.
Yep.
Come back to John Houseman. In his last hours of life.
Right. John Houseman obviously he was... the founder of the Mercury Theater with Orson Welles, and he has this storied history. We know him best from Silver Spoons. After this incredible career, legendary actor, we know him from Silver Spoons and The Fog. Also as the driving instructor in The Naked Gun.
Extend your arm, extend your middle finger.
It's like Lawrence, it's like what's his name? Now I'm blanking.
You ever wonder after like such a Lawrence such Olivier a career that like, you know, people thought like such a career and people were like, hey, remember from Naked Gun?
Exactly. What was I gonna say? Lawrence Olivier, I mean, considered by many to be the greatest actor in the history of the stage and screen, and we know him as Zeus in Clash of the Titans. And that's it. Really. But damn, he's a good Zeus. So I agree, right? He's a good actor.
If you don't mind, I'll take a rain check, okay?
Paul, where are you? I need a cigarette. Hey! Hey!
And here,
she comes.
Yes. Easily the best ghost.
Yeah, definitely.
By far.
Definitely.
Carol Kane. In this ridiculous outfit. I mean, seriously, it looks like she went to the dollar store and bought like this fairy outfit.
They brought in an actual ballet actress to do this ballet, and apparently she was doing some of it, and someone saw her and said, look how horrible she is. Let's just let her do it. Because it's
right, but she's so proud of herself.
Exactly. Now, It's well documented how much abuse Bill Murray took here. Because these were not pulled punches. These were actual hits and slaps and yanks and the bit where she pulls his nose or his lip. She actually ripped the skin that connects your lip with your gums away.
Oh, man. Oh.
Right there, right there.
Oh. Yeah,
she, right there, she's ripping the skin away.
Well, you can't fake that. You're pulling somebody's lip.
I've seen in multiple sources that she would break down for 20 minutes in between takes, sobbing, crying, because she was hurting him so much.
She reminds me of almost like Jiminy Glick and how her voice changes. It's all happy, happy, and then it just growls.
She's so violent, and we talked about this on the Slappies episode, that the sort of masochistic kind of violence is not necessarily motivated by anything that we know of. She's just a nasty, mean, violent fairy ghost. Like, what's her backstory? Why is she a fairy?
It's a good question. Probably because she saw like the previous ghost take shit, and he's not gonna take, and she's not gonna take it.
You know? She likes the rough stuff, so there she is a little bit. She's just kind of into that.
Poor Calvin.
And see, despite their horrible economic situation, which is really, I mean, the fact that she works for the network, for the president of the network, and this is what their situation is. But even so, they have the warmest, most loving house in the entire film.
Well, now I'm going to get freshened up and I'm going to leave a minute. Get ready.
It's very, very cheerful.
Leave it alone. No one can do it.
Shasta, Randy, you two go wash up now, you hear?
Okay.
Except for when they decorate him as the Christmas tree. That wasn't too long. And we hear here the first strains of the Annie Lennox, Al Green, Put a Little Love in Your Heart song, which will come back later.
What's wrong with him?
He hasn't spoken since he saw his father killed 5 years ago. He
just... I forgot that the father was killed.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's a new addition, because in the original Bob Cratchit, Alfred Woodard would have been the Bob Cratchit character, but Bob Cratchit's wife hadn't been murdered.
Don't you remember when she was wearing black for
years? Yeah, right. It was a fashion thing.
Yeah.
It's his choice. Only he can break the spell.
Oh, you want to be a doctor soon enough. This is Christmas time.
Girl! And it's funny, too. You see that poster on their wall, Free South Africa?
Lethal Weapon 2.
Lethal Weapon 2.
I really admire Richard Donner, because he did a lot of that in his movies, where he would incorporate political messages, things that he believed in, things he was fighting for, he would work them into the films. Not a lot of directors today would have the balls to do that. Not a lot of studios would have let a director get away with that. Everybody's so afraid.
I'll check my records. She made me do for a raise. Maybe. Yeah, probably. Probably. I am. Almost positive.
Was there ever a name for this?
For what? Because
my dad used to do this.
Oh, for that? For the boy?
Yeah, is there a name for that?
What is that? There is a name for that.
It's just ridiculous. Everybody's doing it to him.
That she comes down in a wire is great.
Yeah. He just rolls down the stairs.
So now we're at the home of the brother of Bill Murray.
Looks like a beer
commercial.
Let's go in. And it's all mad because he finds out that he gets a VCR.
Yes.
Because Grace did the right thing.
Thanks to Grace did the right thing. They're also playing Trivial Pursuit here, and one of the questions is about Gilligan's Island, which is a callback in a way to Richard Donner, because he directed some Gilligan's Island episodes.
God, when you say that, just, you know, his age and everything, it's like, man, he's just done everything.
He has been around forever. Did a lot of television before he got into movies. A lot of television. You shouldn't have given that to him. I wouldn't have given that to him. Mary Ellen Trainer. That's the name of the wife of Bob Zemeckis, who was also the mom from The Goonies.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, she was the psychiatrist in Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
I'm trying to make him not hear what they got him for Christmas. I love how Bill's hair gets more and more like out of control.
I think I remember the poster. His hair is wild in the poster. I would kill for that VCR right now.
Man.
You know how hard it is to find a good VCR, a new VCR for anything under like $200 or $300 right now? It's crazy. Drives me nuts to think that they were clearancing VCRs out back in the DVD era, and now you can't.
They should be just as available as, you know, the $5 movies that you can still get today. You know,
exactly. I wish I would have bought like 10 of them and just stockpiled them. The richest
man you know. Keep the VCR. What the hell? It's only money. It's a write-off. It's tax deductible.
Oh, the big question. Yep. Here for the Gilligan.
Yep.
This is so easy. You gotta know this.
SS Mackerel.
No.
And no one can get it. Here comes a shove match.
The toaster comes out of nowhere.
She's like, what is it? She knocks him into the frosty sewers.
Yeah, where we find, sadly, Herman, who did not survive. Maybe if he would have got that extra couple of bucks for a cup of coffee from Frank Cross, he could have.
But it's interesting that he tells Herman what killed him is what he should have done, because he says to him, you should have stayed with Claire.
Exactly. She would have helped you. That's a good point. Yeah. He's basically talking to himself in this scene. It's an early version of the Ghost of Christmas Future, because he's kind of seeing himself, you know, dead, frozen, ice cold, frozen, like he is right now as a person in the sewer, which basically is working with these horrible people at this network. So there you go. The lighting in this scene, we should have a good chance to talk about the cinematography. The director of photography was Michael Chapman, who was the DP on Taxi Driver.
Wow.
And also the Philip Kaufman, really good Philip Kaufman Invasion of the Body Snatchers remake. He did The Lost Boys. He did Ghostbusters 2, and he did Quick Change for Bill Murray, who directed that movie.
I remember liking Quick Change.
I do too. It's not a great movie, but it's a good movie. He did also shot The Fugitive and Kindergarten Cop. Maybe I
should have given you the $2. Huh? Nice.
Let's talk about Bill Murray. We didn't really cover his filmography. Not that we have to, because everybody knows Bill, but the thing is, when you list the movies, you realize how many incredible performances he's given. Of course, Caddyshack.
Yep.
Both Ghostbusters movies, 1 and 2. I think he's in the new one that's coming out, if that ever.
Yeah, hopefully he's redoing, you know, they're gonna fix the cameos from the other Ghostbusters, which wasn't very
good. Yeah, those were funky cameos. Yeah. I'm not quite sure what they were thinking with that, but I think he's actually playing Venkman in the new Ghostbusters.
But a lot of Wes Anderson movies. Fantastic Mr. Fox, Royal Tenenbaums, mm-hmm. Moonrise Kingdom, Life Aquatic.
Which he kills. Yeah. So good in that. Little Shop of Horrors, little tiny role in that, but incredibly memorable. What About Bob, which is one of my favorite Bill Murray movies.
Ed Wood.
as Ed Wood as Bunny Breckenridge. That's a movie.
He's got some great lines in there.
I think we could justify doing an Ed Wood episode, even though it's an Oscar-winning movie that everybody recognizes now as a masterpiece. At the time, it came and went, and it's one of my top 10 favorite movies, period, Ed Wood. Also, we can't forget Lost in Translation, which really is probably his finest hour.
He should have won for that.
He really should have won for that. Who beat him?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Was that?
Did he win anything for it? Did he like win the BAFTA but lose the Oscar?
I think he won the Golden Globe. Yeah, I think he won the Golden Globe. Didn't Sean Penn win for Milk that year?
Oh, that could be.
I mean, that's a tough. I mean, how do you pick Sean Penn over Bill Murray? Yeah. Sean Penn and Milk, and I mean, either one.
And whatchamacallit? Stripes, using Tootsie.
Yeah, using Tootsie. Okay.
And something also I found about Bill Murray, which I had no idea.
Look, elevator again. And a great, a great moment.
And the screaming of Bill Murray again. Which is
great. What's great about John?
I love the fact that he calls the ghost a pussy. That's hysterical. Once again, something you'll never get in any other Scrooge movie.
No, nobody says pussy in Muppet Christmas Carol. He's great. That guy is going to be a big star. Elevator doors. Elevator doors.
There are a lot of elevators.
There we go. Bing. Elevator doors in this movie. They really make it work. Wow, we're already to the big. Man, this is going fast.
Mary Lou Retton.
Mary Lou Retton. Many people may not remember Mary Lou Retton as the Olympic gold medalist anymore, but she was also in Naked Gun 33 and a third, I think, also playing herself.
By herself, yep. But just one thing I want to mention about Bill is that on his IMDb, something I had no idea about is that he did a song for John Waters' Polyester.
Polyester, yeah, he did do that song in there.
Crazy.
We'll talk about that when we're going to do a whole John Waters like retrospective episode. So next year. Look forward to that. That's going to be – if you thought that Rise of Skywalker was a long, bloated episode, wait till the John Waters episode. It's going to take you 6 days to get to that. He was also in a movie – remember that movie with the elephant, Larger Than Life?
Yes.
The only Bill Murray movie I ever walked out of.
Oof. Wow.
Al and I went and saw it, and we walked out in the opening credits. Because we're like – like, man, this didn't take long. Like,
by the way,
let's just go see something else. Tab.
My uncle used to be a huge, like, he was the only person I knew that drank Tab. And I would actually kill to try Tab just to see what that
Tab is. I love Tab. I still would drink. I don't drink soda anymore, but if I did, I would drink Tab.
Man.
One night, my sister and I rented Tremors on VHS and Teen Wolf 2, T-O-O, on VHS. And we ate Andy's Candies and Cool Ranch Doritos and drank Tab, and we got sick.
What a night is that?
So sick. Oh, so I want to recreate that night.
Nice little sweet moment from brother to brother.
Yeah. That's a gift. That's a good gift, especially as we get older. Those are the kind of gifts that really have value. Especially when you can kind of buy your own stuff, you know?
That's the thing, right? You know, it's absolutely true.
It's like the cool gifts are the ones that have a sentimental value like that, or the ones that, you know, you didn't even know existed, or the ones that really speak to something that the other person knows about you that you didn't know they knew about you.
Yeah. Thank me not, Ebenezer. For soon
you shall be visited by the final spirit. From Smokey and the Bandit, Pat McCormick. He's also in Under the Rainbow, which we've talked about many times. Somewhere in here is, maybe we missed him already, Jamie Farr, Cannonball Run, MASH, Speed Zone.
So many cameos in here.
Weird cameos, yeah, like 70s stars.
Well, I didn't realize that when he, you know, when we talked earlier, when he walks past the group playing on the street that he mocks, like that's nothing but legends in that group.
Paul Schaefer, yeah, Miles, Davis. And now we have Bobcat in full Bobcat mode because he's drunk. He had to pull it back.
He's got no blood left because he donated everything for some cash.
Now, this scene probably wouldn't play in a contemporary movie as funny because...
Right, because it actually happens now.
Because it actually happens a lot now. But at the time, it and as long as you can remember your original experience with it, it's still funny.
I love how he sings when he comes after him with the shotgun, though. Yeah, here comes the growl, the Zed growl.
Yeah. Here. With her. You know,
or elevator.
I'm surprised when we talked about Carol Kane. She's already gone, but we can mention it. That you didn't mention
Transylvania
6-5. I just saw it on my notes here. I'm like, how did we miss that?
That is totally a guilty pleasure. I don't know why I watch that movie sometimes because it's terrible, but it's also hysterical at the same time because it's so weird.
What do we always say at the end of the show?
Yeah, I know.
No guilty pleasures, only pleasures. This ghost is cool.
It's so cool.
In the studio, we're on the air. Hey, back off, big man. That may work with the chicks, but not with me. Is this straight?
And this, the bit when he opens, that's so good.
It's like Nightmare on Elm Street.
The fact that he goes back to take a second look,
yeah,
and the fact that you only hear the screaming and howling when it's open. And I really like the TV screen face.
Oh, the TV screen face, yeah.
And then things get really dark, and this is really, really effective, this section.
Yeah, this is definitely dark. It's very disturbing. Visiting hours are over,
Mrs. Cooley. You know, I never really appreciated the Danny Elfman music in this movie because it kind of just sits in the movie so perfectly, but it is very Danny Elfman-y score now that I'm listening to it a little bit more. I'll see
you. You can hear some of those, I mean, because it was all within the same sort of range, you can hear sort of the Batman, the Nightmare Before Christmas elements of it.
Very, both those movies, yeah. It's like a melange of those movies.
Yeah, this television screen face is fantastic.
Really effective, yeah. And this, heartbreaking. Heartbreaking when we see the
makeup is so great here.
Yeah, the jaded, cynical Claire. Scrape him off. Beat it. Gilles, will you look at that? I think this, of all of the... Look at the future Christmas Carol things we've seen. I feel like this is, for me, the most effective. These bits. Tiny Tim in a psychiatric institute and then this horrible, horrible Claire.
Finally, thank God, a friend of mine said to me, scrape them off, Claire. You want to save somebody. Save yourself.
I'm sorry, Claire.
Thanks a lot, Lumpy.
That tear.
That was a lousy thing to do.
And then the funeral of Frank Cross.
Disneyland.
And no one's there.
So this is a terrible thing for me to say. But when one of my grandmas died in 2015, at the end of the funeral, one of the ladies came out and said, she goes, well, who wants to do it? And my aunt pointed at me and she goes, he'll do it. I'd be like, what do you want me to do? And they're like, you want to watch your grandma get cremated? And I'm like, yes, because I pictured it being exactly like this. I was like, this is what I pictured like it was going to be like.
Was
unfortunately,
it?
I didn't, No, I didn't get to go. Like, my mom called me one day and she goes, oh, grandma's been cremated. I'm like, but they're supposed to call me. She goes, they wanted me to tell you they apologize. They forgot to call you. I'm like, come on.
They forgot. So unfortunately, that seems like a big life event. That
I know. I was so disappointed. But like I said, this is exactly what I envisioned. I was going to hope for like just this big, you know, marble area.
Yeah.
You know,
it probably wasn't push her in. You know, opulent like, as this. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm sure it's but very basic, but.
I think there are cultures where that, you know, that to be present at that kind of thing is part of the process.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. I mean, I think in America particularly, this a death is handled in such a weird – people are so weird about death.
But, what baffles me is the amount of money that people spend to turn into ash anyway. Because, you know, they said like, you know, your grandma, the casket, the whole thing goes in. I'm just like – how much money was that casket? You know, and they're like, oh, you know, $10,000 for what? Wow. That we're gonna just. She goes. That's on the bottom end. She goes. Some people. She goes. They'll spend $50,000 on the most airtight casket in the world, and they'll get cremated. It's like, what? Why?
Why do the casket? That's crazy.
Yeah, right.
But this stuff is really. It goes from being really, really dark, really emotional, to this. I'm alive.
Holy shit, what a break. Right? That's exactly what a Scrooge would say the next day, right?
Yes.
Milkman. I like that. See, Lauder Milk, he called him Milkman. That's funny.
The Bob Goldthwait expressions here.
Come here. Just throw slapsticky throwing him around.
We're alive, pigsty, coming back, long snow.
There's that again,
right? I love zany throws too here.
That's so you. The catch is that you gotta take a shower. You are right. I love the sort of anarchy of this whole ending, in that it just like literally the entire movie kind of stops. He just takes it over. Bill Murray or Frank Cross or both have like mutated into one, and he literally just stops the whole movie. And he's like, "Look, forget about the show. Forget about everything. I'm just going to monologue all the way to the end, and it's going to be glorious."
Look, Dick Donner, we got 4 hours left. Just follow me.
It feels like that thing, you know, you just hear about, you know, we didn't have the third act worked out or whatever. But that they just kind of like wrote it up to this point, and they're just like, and then Bill just riffs.
Yeah.
The end. Buddy.
Shapoopy. Shapoopy.
Yes, sir? Are you talking to me?
And take three.
Yes, indeed. Buy me a goose. The biggest goose in all of life.
Those eyes. Those Buddy Hackett eyes.
They're like Marty Feldman eyes.
Holy shit, that's Frank Cross. He's drunk. He's nuts.
By the way, the guy that just said it's nuts, that's also the guy from Lethal Weapon, that's the boss.
Oh, really?
And you know what? For the first time, I just noticed that guy grabs her boobs. Mike is doing a great job. Did you notice that?
Notice. No.
He had both of them. What the hell? Wow.
So much of this, I guess, was improvised to the point where I guess the writer thought that Bill was having a nervous breakdown.
That's what like
Richard Donner said. Exactly. Donner said that he feels like this is where Bill Murray became an actor. So it's two different, you know, perspectives.
Yeah.
I know the thing we didn't talk much about was that this was not actually a happy movie to work on. There was a lot of strife on set, and Donner and Bill Murray didn't get along. And
that's sad to hear that, because you think, like, how is this not, like, a fun thing to do, right?
Yeah. But here's
the
thing.
We're going to come here, we're going to uproot it, and
there's that whole thing that you always hear about, you know, how if having a good time on a movie meant that the movie was going to be great, like the Cannonball Run would be the greatest movie of all time. Not that, some people would probably argue. I mean, it's a good movie, not the greatest movie of all time. But yeah, having a good time enjoying yourself on the set and the quality of the film doesn't necessarily have anything to do with one another. But it is amazing when you hear about a film that had a lot of strife, and then when it comes out as great as Scrooge came out.
Yeah, because then they can look back on it and say, you know what, you know, it was worth it, right?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, as long as it's worth it in the end.
Exactly. No one's dead. Everybody kind of got through it. And you look back on it. And you're glad that you did it.
SS Minnow, James. What was the ship that brought them all to Gilligan's Island? The SS Minnow. No points this round, James.
Wait, I think
there's another Bill Murray brother in this scene, too, on the couch there.
Yeah, because there's three of them that's supposed to be in here.
Hello, Torin, how can I help you?
This is Rhinelander. I want to talk to the idiot who put that moron on the air.
Oh, Bryce Cummings is the idiot, really, sir, but he can't talk to you right now because he's tied up. Yes, in fact, he just said that you are a flatulating butthead.
The end of a career. Robert Mitchum talking about buttheads on the phone.
John Houseman. Robert Mitchum. Going out on a high note.
Oh, look at that. There's the fairy outfit in the background there.
Is it? At some point here, the actual crew of the movie gets pulled into shots. I think that Donner is even in it. I don't hear any partying in that boat, Elliot. Great! I mean, it completely breaks the fourth wall. It breaks the fourth wall of the production of the film. I love that woman that's kind of like trying to act like she's having a good time. And there's a gun aimed at her head.
Check this out. Don't be so mean. Look at this. There's a rule. There's a tradition that says I have to kiss this girl on the lips. Well, she's just upholding the law. It's a federal law, actually. It's not just a state thing.
And this,
yeah, this is
the sensor.
Look at her lips.
Oh god, yeah. This is so awful.
Oh, Mr. Cummings. Look at Jamie Farr. It wasn't
great. There has only been one great. There is a girl that I wish I were with tonight.
Oh, Karen Allen, come back to us. How heartbreaking was it when she was in Crystal Skull?
Oh, man.
That was such a waste.
I like to believe that they found a clause in her contract from Raiders that said, just in case. And then she was forced to come back. It wasn't by choice.
I feel like we need a do-over. Bring back Marion. Bring back Indy. Let's give it a second chance. A reboot. A new fourth movie.
That's the only one I would prefer a special edition version.
Just a new movie.
Yeah, just a new movie.
And here we go, crossing over. David Johansen. She can now be seen by Claire.
Which floor?
So this movie opened at number one. It actually made, I think, if we add everything together, international and national.
By the way, I was wrong. Because I just saw him. You're right. The Bill Murray brother that's on the couch is the one that's in One Crazy Summer. The one that he was walking with was not. So I was wrong. They're very similar looks, but yeah.
The walking with was Moving Violations, right?
Moving Violations one. You're right. Yep.
Yeah. So I think Scrooge raked in about $100 million total. Which is obviously not a bomb. They tremendous amount of movie of money. $13 million in its opening weekend, something like that. Number two that week was Land Before Time. Number three was Oliver and Company. Number four was Cocoon, The Return. Number five was Ernest Saves Christmas.
What good had, times.
Right?
People have no idea how good weekends were back then. You know? I mean, geez. You don't get that anymore. Like, I mean, if you think about that, like what weekends were for so long, and now it's like you get like one big movie and then there's junk, right? Like,
but yeah,
like they were stacked weekends back then.
Now it's one big movie on like every screen in the theater.
Yeah.
Before you get a variety. You know, Roger Rabbit was still out that weekend, if you can believe it. It was number 11. This is a movie that came out in like May. That was back in the day when a movie could play in a theater for 6 months. Christmas is once a year and it's a fraud. But it was released November 20th. 1988? November 23rd, 1988.
Yeah.
$32 million budget.
I believe it's going to happen to me now. I'm ready for it.
And this is such a great Christmas speech, too. Like, this one always gets me.
Yeah. It's really better than I've told in a long time. I mean, it sums up as good as any Christmas movie does what Christmas is actually about, minusing all of the religious aspects. I mean, I didn't grow up in a religious household. We, you know, we didn't have that. I'm very grateful for that, that I was able to sort of find my own path. And I don't think you did either.
No,
same thing. We were kind of very, just kind of like very a-religious, non-religious. So Christmas movies, these are the things in the Christmas movies that I connected with. The things that just spoke to just, you know, basic goodwill towards man kind of thing.
Yeah.
And here we go. Exactly. Oh, we just missed.
That's all you need.
Exactly. That's ultimately what it comes down to anyways. We just missed Kelvin speaking.
Yeah, Kelvin spoke for the first time.
Lumpy, no.
It's like boning a marlin. Clear the whole world. Whole world clear.
The hat.
And they lived happily ever after.
And then the song kicks in, which was quite a popular song at the time, actually. I think it's a cover of a song that previously existed.
And then he looks off and he sees all the ghosts.
Yep, little Return of the Jedi moment there.
Yeah.
Including Herman. Herman is there hanging out with Carol Kane.
I like the ghost of the future there with the skull chopping away.
Yeah. And these are some of my favorite credits ever because the movie's still going. We're getting the initial credits here. And I think if we look closely, we're going to see crew members in here. R.I.P. R.I.P. John Houseman.
Yeah.
This is kind of like the curtain call, which we don't get in movies anymore, where you get to see all the cast members one last time. But it's built into the structure. There she is.
Last time
we see Anne Ramsey on screen. And this, this kills me. Feed me, Seymour, feed me. There's the crew in the background. This bit where he's talking to the audience, this side of the theater sing and this side of the theater sing. Seeing that in the theater was so cool, even though people weren't actually singing. It just made me happy.
It'd be good if you did get one like that, though.
Yeah. The real man. I always love the fourth wall breaking stuff because the Muppet movie was the first movie I ever saw, which is all about breaking the fourth wall. So whenever I see this in movies, it makes me happy.
It's not done enough anymore, is it?
It's not. There's Richard Donner with the kid on his shoulders in the background there.
Oh, man.
Oh, so good. Such a Christmas classic, Scrooged. Best Christmas movie of all time.
It's so good.
Cherry Bomb's stamp of approval.
It's just so funny. I mean, how did anybody like this? Like, I'm so shocked that Ebert was like, this is the worst version of Scrooge ever. Like, really? Like, out of 200 years of Scrooge, like, this one did it for you? You're like, this is terrible? Like, come on. Because, like, are you telling me that the Henry Winkler Scrooge was somehow better than this? Like, come on.
What were the others? So there's the Henry Winkler one. I didn't even know that existed.
you ever see the cover of it?
No.
It doesn't even look like him. It's the weirdest cover ever. I mean, that one stands out to me more than anything, you know. I mean, like, you know, I mean, sure, there are good ones. I mean, I like the
brushing the title away, wearing his hat. But,
I mean, I like the Donald Duck one.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that one. Yeah,
that's a good one.
The cool thing about when the Mickey's Christmas Carol came out was at McDonald's, I think, or maybe it was Burger King, or it was Hardee's, did a giveaway of stuffed animals, of like little character stuffed animals of the different characters, and go back every week and you order, you know, the meal, and then you get the toy. And we went back and got them all every week. So I have really good memories about that stuff. Whenever I watch it, I always want to eat Hardee's.
Yeah, you know, that was the thing too back then. I mean, yeah, they still do Happy Meals now, and it's great. But the toys were just so not like so much better, but just like the advertising. Like I remember, and they're expensive today too. Like I remember, like the Batman cups at like Taco Bell. You know, look on eBay now; they're lots of money. You know.
Yeah, the glasses, like the Star Wars glasses.
The glasses, oh my God, yeah.
So there was that George C. Scott version, Alistair George Sim C. version.
Now, that's Albert a good Finney. One. Because, I mean, if there's a Scrooge, like, Alistair Sim always, like, creeps me out. Like, that's, you know.
He's kind of gaunt and sort of, ghoulish.
Yeah.
The Muppet one, I will say, not to end it on a down note, but everybody that listens to the show knows that Muppets and Star Wars are like my thing. Like that was got me into everything. But the Muppet Christmas Carol came on just on the heels of Jim Henson dying. It was the first thing that came out after Henson, and it just didn't feel like the Muppets to me. So I've warmed to it over the years. But
I always liked that one.
But to me,
it completely is because of Michael Caine though.
But see, my problem was you got the Muppets doing the Christmas Carol. Why is there so many people in it? Why isn't Sam the Eagle playing Scrooge? Why is it Michael Caine? I want to see a Muppet playing Scrooge. And also with the ghosts, why aren't the Muppets the ghosts? All of the three ghosts were like these new creatures.
So that's true.
There wasn't enough Muppets in my... I like Muppets in my Muppet movies. So that was kind of my problem with that. But I will say I have warmed to it over the years after my initial. And also, it was like the wrong-sounding Muppets thing going on where like the voices, the Jim Henson's voices were not obviously Jim. So, but then there's that Jim Carrey one that Bob Zemeckis did, which shall go undiscussed.
You know, if this commentary somehow does reach Richard Donner,
Mr. Donner,
thank you for everything that you've done. And if you can, please see that we get a special edition of this. We would love a commentary track on here. We would love to hear what you have to say about this movie.
We know this stuff exists. It's sitting in a vault somewhere at Paramount. If anybody from Paramount's listening, please put it out. Give the world a Christmas present.
Well, Wendy Malick is really far down on the credits. Like, I'm really surprised that she's that far down.
She wasn't that big at that time, I don't think.
No, but she's in the middle of like Waiter and Priest and the Scroogettes, the solid
Scroogettes,
gold answer.
Solid answers.
Suggested by a Christmas Carol. I like how it's suggested by
by, hinted at. All right. Well, there it is. That was our first commentary track. So hopefully you enjoyed that. Everybody have a great holiday, Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever it is you celebrate, or if it's just Presents Day, whatever. Enjoy yourself. Stay safe. We will definitely see you next year with all kinds of new crazy episodes dedicated to Anne Ramsey. There we go.
Oh, and the Bob Scaife on there, too, who is the art director. he did things like Beetlejuice, Batteries Not Included, ugh, Big Trouble in Little China, Goonies, War Games, Apocalypse Now. I mean, legends on this movie.
Amazing. So good. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much for listening. And always, never apologize for the movies you love.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Kiss my ass. Kiss his ass. Kiss your ass. Happy Hanukkah.